This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Sources tell ABC that President Trump is moving to fire the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia after his office was unable to prosecute the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. ABC's Dave Packer has more.
Federal prosecutors in Virginia have uncovered no clear evidence to prove that James had knowingly committed mortgage fraud when she purchased a home in the state in 2023. But sources say Trump officials pushed U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert to nevertheless bring criminal charges against her.
His last day is expected to be today. President Trump suggested the FCC could take away licenses from broadcasters repeatedly critical of him. That follows Disney's decision to take Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. The CDC vaccine advisory panel continues work today, considering changing scheduling recommendations for vaccinations. And the head of British intelligence said there's no evidence Vladimir Putin wants to negotiate peace in Ukraine. This is ABC News. A Grammy-winning country music songwriter was among three people killed in a small plane crash in western North Carolina. Brett James was 57. He was best known for writing the Carrie Underwood hit, Jesus Take the Wheel. It looks like the end of the long search for the man who allegedly murdered his own children.
Travis Decker, an expert in wilderness survival from his time in the military, was believed to have been hiding out in the mountains of Washington State after investigators said he killed his three young daughters during a parental visit in May. They were murdered at a campsite near Leavenworth, Washington. Now human remains have been found in a remote area near Leavenworth. The local sheriff saying they are believed to be Decker's remains, but a positive ID is still pending. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The new iPhone 17 is out. Apple says its base model has a brighter, more scratch-resistant screen and takes better horizontal selfies. The top-line Pro Max model costs $1,400. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
A close call for Kraft.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers were holding practice yesterday when suddenly Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury after an exam. They don't believe it's going to be long-term. Now, the Packers play the Browns on Sunday. Can Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick fill Kraft's spot at tight end? Offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich.
I like our room with the tight end room, so I think, you know, we'll be able to figure out the best path forward depending on what happens there with Tucker.
Badger football, Wisconsin against Maryland, 11 a.m. tomorrow in Madison. In their first Big Ten game of the year, is this where they can start to turn the program around? Quarterback Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-1 right now. So there's a lot of teams that are the same way. So just being able to, you know, go execute against Big Ten opponents. And yeah, like you said, everything that we want is still in front of us.
Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cards. Milwaukee's magic number now down to 4 after sweeping the Angels last night 5-2. Quinn Priester's 12th win in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with highs in the mid-70s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms as well. They will become more likely as the day goes on. Showers and a few thunderstorms likely tonight. Low temperatures right around 60 degrees. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for lieutenant governor. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's it?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Act 2, hour number 2 here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We are talking about a lot of fun stuff tonight. My current guest is Victoria Davis. She writes for the Capital Times. She's a freelancer. She's a moderator at Comic-Con. She kind of does it all. And she was here to make the popcorn pick of the week. We have her for a few more minutes, and we will get right back to her as soon as we do a quick recap. Conrad, you told me at the beginning of the show you hate roundabouts.
Yeah, it's just everyone's too, you know, they're going places way too fast. All right, just take a breather, slow down a second. Make sure there's no car and make sure there's no semis coming before you go.
You know what I think we need to do on this show? I think you need to do a weekly public service announcement.
I like that.
Because you said earlier, go slow on roundabouts. And that hit home. I didn't cry, but I was doing that thing where I was like trying not to cry because it mattered. So think about that.
Okay. I love that.
All right. And I announced too that Robert Redford movies, all the big hits, folks, are available on Prime to stream. So check that out as well. We've got a new downtown signal in Milwaukee, 100.3. We read your text of our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite musical performance in a movie? And I said, what did I say? Blinded by the Light. That's a movie. Was not a big hit. Pardon me. Kind of went right to streaming. But there's a kid who has a crush on a girl, and they sing Thunder Road. And, like, all these people join in. It's so great. I also said Try a Little Tenderness in The Commitments and Tiny Dancer in Almost Famous, which our guest Victoria Davis also said. Well, she liked all the performances in Almost Famous, and they were great. And Conrad said, help me out again.
All right, so it was Lyle Crocodile. And, you know, I forgot to mention another one, Yesterday, which is a movie about, you know, what if the Beatles never existed, but there's one guy who remembers him. And he remakes all the Beatles songs himself and makes it big, obviously.
Wow.
But the greatest catch in that is that there's two more people on Earth that remember him, too. So he finally meets him.
I'm intrigued.
It's a great movie.
All right. That sounds good. Is that an adult film or? No, come on, Conrad.
Well.
It depends what you like, I guess. All right. Mike Clemens will be here at 7:20. We're going to talk a little sports with Mike. Mike's always up on movies, too. Maybe we'll just, you know what? It's Mike's dime, Mike's dance floor.
Yep.
That's what I say. I'm just happy to have him here, and we'll do that in just a few minutes. But please be sure and respond to our question of the night so I can read your text on the radio, folks. What is your favorite musical performance in a movie? And with that, let's get back to our guest, Victoria Davis. So, all right. So
I agree with Conrad. The Yesterday is also a great film.
So you saw that too. Okay.
I did see it. It's really good. There's a scene with the main character and Ed Sheeran in it. That's hilarious.
Yes.
As well,
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Okay.
Conrad knows what I'm talking about. So they have a competition of writing a song, and it's hilarious.
So is it a comedy?
I guess yes. Okay. I guess it's like a dry comedy kind of.
Love it.
That's what I like. Yeah, right. It's really good.
Fantastic. We got, we just got three popcorn picks of the week, I think. okay, so Victoria, we talked about anime before the break, but you said, you know, that was not your first time at Comic-Con, correct?
No. Well, no, I had been back in 2016, but this was my first time going for work.
Oh,
the first time
okay.
I'd done a panel there. So yeah. It was really, yeah, it's ushered me in. I'm also moderating a panel at the SCAD Animation Fest coming up next week. And they were like, we saw you did one at STCC. Do you want to do one for us too? I'm like, this has just opened a whole door for me.
Oh my gosh, this is so great. Moderating.
It's awesome.
What does this mean? We're going to have to send you like a signing bonus to get you back on the show the more popular yeah. you get here? We can do that. I'm just saying. We got.
I mean, I like talking to you guys.
Okay. So tell us, for those of us who have not been to Comic-Con, what is that experience mm-hmm. like? Like, is it, I know it started with comic books, but now it's like everything. Like yeah. what goes on there? If I went for the first time, what would you tell me to check out?
Get a map. First,
okay.
Get a map, know what doors you're supposed to go into. Even as press, I would like show them my badge. I'm like, can I get in the store? And they're like, nope. Like they're trying to keep everybody safe and they're trying to keep everything orderly. It is a lot to take in, but I think the best thing to do is when you go with your family and you just walk on the exhibit hall floor where they have all these booths. They have artist booths that do like posters and Funko Pops and little action figures and buttons and stickers that have these booths of, you know, merch that you can buy for different shows. But they also yeah. have actual like walkthrough experiences. Like Crunchyroll had one. Nickelodeon had one where you could walk through like the Avatar city and Avatar: The Last
nice.
Airbender. And so that's a really fun time with family and with kids, like when you just don't want to be part of like kind of the chaos of like the panels and you just kind of walk through. But knowing what panels you want to go to ahead of time is super helpful. And yeah, and just kind of planning to be there all day, every day. But it was surprisingly, I was kind of expecting there to not be a lot of kids just because of how chaotic it can be. But okay. there were tons of families there, tons of families that brought their kids and they were just having an absolute ball. So I think it's very family. And they all of the moderators, myself included, but, you know, like even when you go to a panel for like King of the Hill or Adult Swim, they are always like, OK, guys, remember, we're trying to keep this family friendly because there are parents here with their children. So like they're very conscious of making sure that the whole family can attend every panel, which is really nice.
Wow, that's great. Did you take your family?
I didn't get to take them this year because I just wasn't sure what I was getting into from, because 2016 was one thing. And then I'm like, it's been almost 10 years now. Yeah. I don't really know how crazy it's going to be. And so I elected for Bill and Sophie to kind of stay back. And I'm like, just let me get a feel for it. And then we'll see. But maybe next year. I'd love to bring them next year.
Mom's got a lot of work to do, you guys. Cut to Victoria's in a conga line. Like, da, 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 da.
It's true. Well, and I did go to the Adult Swim, like party on the green party, which was wild. And
oh, wow.
I mostly took pictures because there I had to get to interviews between attending that and I'm like, I can't get too crazy. I have to go to an interview in 30 minutes. So it's a wild ride, but I would love to bring them next year because there is so much stuff for families to
do. It sounds really fun. All right, tell us a little bit about SCAD before we let you go. That's coming SCAD Animation Fest yep. coming up in Atlanta, September 25th through the 27th.
Yes, it is this. They have two festivals: the SCAD Animation Fest, SCAD Film Fest. SCAD Film Fest is in October. This one, SCAD Animation Fest, is just focused on animation. They highlight a lot of the animation that their students are doing, as well as bringing in people like from K-Pop Demon Hunters, The Tiny Chef Show, Critical Role, to talk about upcoming projects. They've got people that had worked on Monsters, Inc. that are going to walk there. It's like a, I think it's [S2] Nice. [S1] Like breakfast and like they're going to like make breakfast and everyone can watch the movie and then have a Q&A with the production people afterwards. But they have a really awesome slate. I'm moderating a panel for Crunchyroll at SCAD Animation Fest that will focus on the process of turning manga into animation adaptations.
I already have to Google every word you just said, so that's okay.
Crunchyroll is a very, for people who don't know, Crunchyroll is a very popular streaming platform for anime. And they help with adapting a lot of like these webtoon, web novel and manga comics into anime series. And there's two that we're talking about at that panel that are made by Americans. And it's one of the first times that Japanese studios have like made American web novels into anime adaptations. So very we're going to be talking about that whole process. We're not sure if I'll be able to moderate this one. That's up to Amazon, but there will be a panel there for the Mighty Nein, which is Critical Role's latest animated series that's coming out, on top of Vox Machina, which is on Amazon. But there will be production people talking about that process there too. I'm hopeful that I get to moderate it, but it's not for certain. I will be at that panel regardless.
You are so in your element talking about all that. I could just see you like beam. It's great.
Trying to wrap it up. I'm trying to like be as speedy because I know you've got things to do as well. But
no.
I'm trying to be speedy about it.
Listen, what are we doing here? This is why we have you here. This is excellent. True. So, well, thank you very much. Have fun in Atlanta. And thank you for making the popcorn pick of the week. And again, I cannot wait. Don't get too busy for Nightlight, Victoria. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I will try. Thanks so much.
Keep up
Pete.
The great work. Fun. You're welcome. Thanks so much. Victoria Davis, check out her work at the Capital Times. And we should have asked her. I think she has a Substack too. Google Victoria Davis because she does great work and she's all over the place. And you'll enjoy reading her work. Mike Clemens is coming up in just a few minutes. We've got some text here we need to get to from our question of the night, which is, what is the best musical performance in a movie? And we've got a stream comment here, too. Meredith Dill on the stream says, Matt Damon singing Scotty Doesn't Know in Eurotrip from MDX. You know that one?
No, actually.
I don't either. I don't, and the screen just went dead. So we've got other...
Well, I can tell you. So Craig Anthony said, Victoria, did you see the Galactus cosplayer? I think we missed that one.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry, Craig. We should have asked.
But Victoria. He did say that's the best costume in years.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, Craig is another one, big fan, and he has been to Comic-Con as well. He sent me pictures. He met Tom Lennon there
a year ago. That's awesome.
That was really fun.
And then the last stream comment says, Dave Kunish says, The Sound of Music.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's great a classic. One. Absolutely. Mark from Prairie to Sac says, in reference to me saying, well, it was a joke I read on Twitter that said Scott Baio is going to take over for Jimmy Kimmel. Mark says Scott Baio is an ass, not as bad as Danny Masterson, but an ass.
Yeah, Danny Masterson's like king ass.
I don't think either one of them need to be hosting the Jimmy Kimmel show. Mark also says Mark Harmon played a really sneaky bad guy in the movie with Tom Selleck, Crossfire Creek. Mark Harmon, is that from our question last night, maybe? Unless Mark Harmon sang, and I didn't know that.
You might have.
I doubt that very much. Thank you, Mark. Always great to read your text, my friend. From the 414, I think this is Edward, says, Dolly Parton serenading Burt Reynolds with I Will Always Love You in the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Yeah, that's a great song. I remember that moment. I totally forgot about that movie. Thank you, Edward. And Edward says, while he's in the bathtub. Oh, that's even better, I guess, if you like Burt Reynolds in the bathtub. Mark from Prairie du Sac also says, Will Ferrell in Stranger Than Fiction. Did he sing in that?
I actually never seen that movie.
I did, but I think I saw it late at night and I was streaming it and I probably fell asleep. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. John from Madison, the 608, says, Julie Andrews in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She's my first fave from when I was five. She is magical. The scene where she is a wind-up toy singing and doing some robotics, it's special. Wow. I have never seen that movie, John.
You've
thank you.
Got to see that movie.
No, I know.
It's a classic.
I know. And Dick Van Dyke is in it, too. I think it's Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews. Yeah. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608, says, putting on the Ritz. Okay, this is great. Mel Brooks from Young Frankenstein. Conrad hit it. No, that's not Mel Brooks from Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you, you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a million.
I just needed to hear that. That was for you, Tyler. That's Putting on the Ritz from Young Frankenstein, Peter Boyle, and Gene Wilder. We are coming right back, ladies and gentlemen, with the Civic Media Sports Authority and my pal Mike Clemens. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Why are Interscholastic Sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight, and that is the Jazz Man?
Yeah.
Who's saying that? That's Carole King, yeah. Where did you find that, Con?
You sent that to me.
A long time ago, though,
yeah,
right?
To play some.
Was that on the Tapestry album, I think?
Probably, Mike. Yeah, yeah. Probably. That is the voice of Mike Clemens, ladies and gentlemen, who joins us now here at Nightlight in the studio. And you know what, Con? It's so dark, I don't know if we could take Mike's picture. Maybe you think we could get one at the... We got to do a window picture of Mike. He's got a white shirt on. I mean, I think it'll show up.
I think so.
Just bring your Polaroid one step.
Sounds good.
Mike Clemens is here, folks. Civic Media Sports Authority.
Why do you need my picture? Is this for the FBI or?
No, they've already got a file on you, buddy.
Just go to the post office. You can see it there.
We've got.
Most wanted.
You look like such a sports reporter right now. I'm so envious and it's so
cool. Do I?
Yeah, you got your glasses and your media pass.
I have this to get it in.
Sipping coffee.
Yeah.
We would have let you in anyway.
I'm trying to stay awake. Long day. Not for the show.
Okay.
By the way, I usually listen to the show like at 3 in the morning sometimes when it's on the replay because I'm just sort of winding up the day.
Jeez.
But that's what's great about this. This is, you know, the best thing that radio can do, particularly at night, is the companionship, and that's what you guys do such a great job of.
Well, we try to. Thank you, Mike. I always appreciate you listening or when you text in or whatever. It's just great. And it's always great when you're on the show. But no, we've been doing this thing where we take people's pictures through the window.
I saw that. That's fun. That's really fun.
Maybe if I kill the lights in here, we could do that over the news. But it is great to have
you
here.
You want me to go outside?
Not right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's getting chilly out there, too. We'll give you a shawl.
Leaves are already starting to turn.
I know. It's football season. Before we get into sports, Mike, and Conrad, the screen went out again. You need to go get the tools.
I think so.
What the hell is going on here? Do you have a favorite? You know, you're a movie guy. You love documentaries. You love movies. Do you have a favorite musical performance in a movie? You can think about it if you want. I know I'm kind of throwing this out there right away. We can settle in with some sports first.
Why did I immediately think of Tommy the Movie?
Oh, and Elton
John doing Pinball Wizard.
Yeah, oh, that's a great one.
Or Anne Margaret sliding in on a giant can of beans.
What was that? Was that in Tommy? That wasn't in Tommy.
Yeah.
That wasn't Tommy?
Anne Margaret played Tommy's mom.
She did?
Roger Daltrey from The Who played Tommy. And so she ended up being like this stage mom. And she saw that, you know, her deaf, dumb, and blind kid who could play pinball.
Me and pinball.
Could
go
to international fame and could buy her minks and fur coats and all that. And so there was just some sort of weird symbolism where at some point, he's like endorsing beans or whatever. But she comes sliding into a room in a river of beans and gravy. Yeah.
I saw that. I was really young when I saw it. I don't remember much about it. I probably need to rewatch it. But that's a classic.
It's a weird one. For some reason, when you talk about musicals, I went right to some 70s stuff.
That's all right. I want to ask you our question last night, too, though, Mike, because we had a discussion about pro athletes that made the jump to acting or tried to, some more successfully than others. But do you remember that in the 70s? Like, I remember seeing, you know, Dick Butkus or James Brown or Jim Brown in a movie or O.J. Simpson, obviously. Do any of those resonate with you? Like, did you think some of them weren't bad? Or the modern day ones like The Rock or John Cena, you know?
Yeah. One of the first ones that comes to mind is Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Because, and this is going back to the 60s. And, of course, the Packers are playing the Browns this weekend.
Yeah.
But Jim Brown had been in the NFL, I think, 9 years. Just an outstanding running back. And he said, I'm... And the teams, the NFL, were kind of giving him the business that he wants to be into movies. And finally just said, if I can't do movies in the summertime before football and then still sign up, because then I'll just do movies. I've done what I need to do.
Wow.
In the NFL. They did win one championship there. There's 2 years where Lombardi didn't win, and the Browns were the team that won that time.
I didn't think the Browns had – well, that was before the Super Bowl, though, right?
Yeah, this is mid-60s. The Super Bowl is after the 67 season.
67, yeah.
So, there was a year where the Bears won and then the Browns won.
Okay.
Ditka and the Bears won and then the Browns did with Jim Brown. And maybe he played one or two more years, but he had one last game and then he just hung it up and he went right in. And I think maybe his first film was The Dirty Dozen.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
He did a film, too, that... took place in Gary, Indiana. I want to say it was 10 or 12 years ago, called The Original Gangstas. And it was these old guys that were like in gangs when they were younger, but now they're kicking ass on some of the younger kids and trying to get them to fly right. And Jim Brown, like, I don't know if he was a great actor or not, but he was kind of the same. He was always kind of gruff and looked like a no-nonsense guy.
Sure.
Whether he was talking about who should break his record or
Godfather-like.
Acting. Yeah.
Godfather-like.
Exactly.
So... here's the cool thing, though. I mean, growing up, vague but fond memories, 6, 7 years old, Jim Brown as a player.
Yeah.
And then, all those biographies, his importance for African Americans, his friendship with Muhammad Ali, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and being that spokesperson, and his movie, his acting career.
Right.
And elevating the profile of athletes to say, we're not just jocks. Look, we can be in movies. We can be commentators. We can be game show hosts. You name it. We used to have a lot more access Super Bowl week to cover Hall of Fame. And Ron Wolf was going to be named into the Hall of Fame, the Packers GM.
Okay.
So I got into this small little press conference. And they said, go ahead, sit here. So I sat in a front row, and they were saving one seat. Jim Brown sits next to me.
Oh, how cool.
And we just had a small conversation. But how cool was that?
That's really cool. Let's pick up there. We got to do the news. Mike Clemens is here in the studio, folks. I don't know if we're going to take his picture through the window or not. Maybe it's not in the cards, but we'll see what we can do. All right, we're coming right back with Mike Clemens. We'll have some Brewers, some Packers talk, some Jim Brown. We're doing it all here at Nightlight with Mike Clemens. It's Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Sources tell ABC that President Trump is moving to fire the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia after his office was unable to prosecute the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. ABC's Dave Packer has more.
Federal prosecutors in Virginia have uncovered no clear evidence to prove that James had knowingly committed mortgage fraud when she purchased a home in the state in 2023. But sources say Trump officials pushed U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert to nevertheless bring criminal charges against her.
His last day is expected to be today. President Trump suggested the FCC could take away licenses from broadcasters repeatedly critical of him. That follows Disney's decision to take Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. The CDC vaccine advisory panel continues work today, considering changing scheduling recommendations for vaccinations. And the head of British intelligence said there's no evidence Vladimir Putin wants to negotiate peace in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
A close call for Kraft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers were holding practice yesterday when suddenly Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury after an exam. They don't believe it's going to be long term. Now, the Packers play the Browns on Sunday. Can Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick fill Kraft's spot at tight end? Offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich.
I like our room with the tight end room. So I think, you know, we'll be able to figure out the best path forward depending on what happens there with Tucker.
Badger football, Wisconsin against Maryland, 11 a.m. tomorrow in Madison. In their first Big Ten game of the year, is this where they can start to turn the program around? Quarterback Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-1 right now. There's a lot of teams that are the same way. So just being able to, you know, go execute against Big Ten opponents. And yeah, like you said, everything that we want is still in front of us.
Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cards. Milwaukee's magic number now down to 4 after sweeping the Angels last night 5-2. Quinn Priester's 12th win in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first 3 episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for Lacrosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with highs in the mid-70s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms as well. They will become more likely as the day goes on. Showers and a few thunderstorms likely tonight. Low temperatures right around 60 degrees. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Van Orden, he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling. The more troubling tweets call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel as we go deep on what Charlie Kirk said, the GOP's response to his assassination, and what is hate speech. Really, don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
So our question of the night is, what is your favorite musical performance in a movie? And Everett from Sun Prairie says, Man of Constant Sorrow, The Soggy Bottom Boys, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. That is a great one. I actually thought of that earlier today, and I meant to write it down, and I didn't. Good one. Thank you, Everett. John Murray, Purple Rain was an amazing display of musical talent. Totally agree. And Dave on the stream says, the opera music in Shawshank. And that is great music. I think it's called The Marriage of Figaro, and it is so beautifully used in that movie. I totally agree, Dave. Dave also says, stop singing, Pete. Is that the name of a song, or is he making a request?
I think he's saying you just can't do it anymore.
All right. And then Mark from Prairie to Sac says, an animated short that came The Incredibles 2, Bow is really charming. Oh, not aware of that. Thank you, Mark. Hey, Mike Clemens is here, folks. He is in the studio. I just took his picture through the window. He was excited about it.
Yeah.
I think it was fun for all of us, but he is joining us here in the studio to talk.
Yeah, but we had some women walking by and whisper to each other, what the hell is this guy doing?
You know what? They walked out.
What the hell's going on?
They walked out right before you got out there, and I started pointing like this, thinking it was going to be you, and they were like, what? Like, they thought I was telling them what to do. It's good to have you here, Mike. So we were talking about Jim Brown, and you said you got to sit next to him. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, and, you know, it's the longer I get into this, I, you know, just, you just, the best way to, when you're around those kinds of folks, is just stay in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, Jim Brown, I signed the Dirty Dozen. I remember all these movies. and you read their what's that, IMBD thing to
them?
You know?
IMDb, yeah.
Yeah, Yes, I know. Yes, that's right.
Thank you. I did a movie.
Thank you. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I've get friendships, if you will, with some of these guys when they just say, do you know where the elevators are?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Just come on this
way. Yeah, right.
Just stay in the moment.
Yeah. Or make an offbeat, something that's not about their career or whatever. Yeah. You know, great socks. That always works for me.
I mean, you could end up going to lunch with them. At some point, you know, and then you can get into it.
Sure.
But, you know, don't turn it into an interview. Just make a contact.
I didn't realize. I just pulled him up. He just died in 2023. I thought he passed away like in 2015 or something. But
no, Jim Brown. No, just a couple years ago.
Yeah. All right. So, Mike, what is going on? The Packers are 2-0 and off to an incredible start. And I think probably they might have been 2-0 with or without Micah Parsons, maybe. But does this... I told Conrad and I were talking about this, and I said, I don't know if Micah Parsons gets you to the Super Bowl, but it probably makes you the favorite for the division. Am I way off there?
I don't know, because in these two games, and then you look at the what they call the All-22, you know, from the end, I can't get over how Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator, is rushing four, maybe brings a fifth guy, but they're all coming so fast. And what usually happens is with each play or every other play, one guy breaks through, but it's breaking down these pockets of the Lions and now the Commanders. And one guy, and then it turns into a jailbreak. But the speed at which they're hitting is.
Okay.
And you just say, is it Micah Parsons? Is it because offenses are the quarterback, starting with the quarterback, is so concerned where number one is? And by the way, that number, when you're up in the press box on game day, looks like a big dorsal fin coming out of this guy. I mean, he looks like a shark out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see them from all over the stadium, from the highest points, that big number one. And when he comes onto the field, puts his hand down, the play starts, and you can see him just stick out in between all the players and quickly wiggle his way around, and all of a sudden he's hurrying the quarterback. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So is that making the whole defense, or is it the effort, or is it, you know, maybe the boring explanation is it's year two of the defense.
True.
And they know where they're going. They know what they're doing. And that gets down to even Quay Walker, a first-round pick out of Georgia in his, what, fourth year now, I think. But, you know, Quay Walker says, look, here's the deal. It's to the point now where half will give me the defensive call in my helmet because he's up in the press box. And he can start with the first few words, and I know what the situation is. Okay, second and seven. And I can complete the sentence for him.
Wow.
So when you don't have to think.
Right. Like that,
and now you can just totally react to the play, right?
Yeah.
You play two steps faster that way. And you can go more on instinct, and that's going to make your defense faster. Now, you know, I've pointed out to everybody, Vic Fangio was his first year in Philadelphia as the defense coordinator. How'd that work out? Yeah. They won the Super Bowl.
He's great.
And they crushed everybody.
Right.
They had a tremendous roster.
True.
They had a tremendous roster where they beat the Chiefs with just four down linemen, led by that Jalen Carter, big dude there on the line, the guy who spit on Dak Prescott that night.
Which supposedly Dak Prescott spit on him first. Is that not true?
It's a whole Zabruder film. You know, it's like the Seinfeld.
By way of Seinfeld, yeah.
It was a magic loogie. A magic loogie.
Keith Hernandez.
Yeah. But that's the difference in this whole team. Is how the Packers' defense is just dominating these games.
Yeah.
And now Jordan Love can sort of get into a groove. But we got some breaking news here this afternoon. They let us in this morning, Pete, and we watched the starter practice, drills and all that. And then they get to 11-on-11, and now they're going to start, working on day two of their game plan. What do we do on second down? What do we do on third down? That's when we get kicked out.
Okay.
And they've got all these big tarps. If you drive by Lambeau Field and the Hudson Center, now you see this big black tarps because of the Resch Center and the new Expo Center that they got because they don't want people peeking
spy.
In. Yeah, they spent a couple of $1 million on these extra huge, large black tarpaulins to block the view in there. But they excuse us. And then when practice is over, we go in the locker room, we're talking to players, and I was in there I wouldn't want to play poker with these guys. Because I was talking to him about this Browns rookie tight end, this Harold Finnan Jr. He set an NFL record for the Browns with most receptions in an NFL debut for a tight end.
Really?
In the league. Yeah. It's a guy that, number 44, look for him in Sunday's game with the Browns that, the Packers defense are going to have to cover. And I'm talking to some of the linebackers, but I say, this kid looks like the next Tucker Kraft, huh? And they didn't blink. And as soon as they close the locker room doors, about 15 minutes later, they slip a little thing to ESPN, like Tucker Kraft, had to leave practice today. Oh, I know what it was. The injury report came out.
Oh.
And it said Tucker Kraft knee, limited participation. So then a call was put in, and then the team responded, yeah, he had a knee. It happened during practice today. He's currently being evaluated. Now, the later reports from Ian Rappaport from NFL Network says, this is the agent.
Yeah.
And we think he tweaked it, it's not as serious. So they were concerned that he tore something today.
Jeez.
And now, initial evaluations is a sprain. So Tucker Kraft, I imagine, is not going to play this weekend, but maybe it's a 2 or 3 week
thing.
Too
serious, though.
Not season ending.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I want to ask you if you're okay with this. You posted something on the Civic Media chat, and I've had such a crazy busy week. I've just been glancing at things. But what happened with the Bob Uecker story? Did we talk about this the other day, Con? Pat Murphy. Well, I'm just going to let you tell the story.
I sent you guys some tape. So here's what happens. The Brewers clinch a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I thought this was so cool because it was Saturday night. And Saturday night's game ends in like the 10th inning. Another dramatic come from behind win of the year, like their 13th. Yeah. And they win 9-8. Okay. And so after the game, there was, we knew some kind of celebration was going on before they opened up the clubhouse doors. And Murph came out and did a press conference, and he was asked, so did you guys have a little celebration in there that you clinched? Yeah. He said, and he looks at the, you know, PR people from the team. He goes, we shot a video, right? Yeah, there'll be a video coming out later. So I wait till 1 or 2 in the morning. And the video is they've dimmed the new lighting they've got in the clubhouse. And they're all raising champagne glasses. So instead of that silly, you know, goggles and bottles of champagne spraying all over when you haven't won the World Series, maybe you just got back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You won your division, which I think is kind of nonsense. They've got this classy, they're raising a toast with champagne glasses. Okay?
Right.
And it's quiet. And Murph says, I've got a letter here. I got this today from Bob Uecker, and I want to read it. And it starts off with, hey, guys, you know, and it's a greeting from heaven. I'm on the ball team up here. It's great. There's no night games followed by day games, you know. And he's, you know, and he says, yeah, I'm the third catcher. But, hey, it's still great. So it's like a perfect Uecker kind of thing. And as he gets into it, at midway through it, though, you hear Murphy say, so congratulations on your year. You know, most road wins of the season. He's reading off some stats, which clearly.
Right.
Okay. But he finishes, guys, but play for each other. Play your best every day. And, you know, good luck moving on or whatever. And he says, it's Bob Uecker. Now, I watched this thing like 3 or 4 times because the team has labeled it that Pat Murphy reads a note from Bob Uecker. Just straightforward like that.
Right.
And I see Antanasio, the owner, at the start of this little ceremony, hand this note to Pat Murphy. And people are asking, well, how could Uecker have known what the stats were? Right? But as I look at it, it's like, you know, though, I could clearly see that Uecker wrote a thing like, hey, if they get back in the playoffs, Mark,
give this
to the boys after I'm gone. Just a generic note. And Murphy's probably just ad-libbing the stats. But it was all identified as this was from Bob. And I could see, because he's got Antanasio handing him the
right
note. Right? So people, you know, were like ripping it and all this because it was all kind of weird in a way. So I reposted that and said, you know, what I should have said is maybe that's what happened.
Right.
I just said, Antanasio handed this thing. Well, it got 500,000 views in about an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
500,000. It went major viral. The teams went 1.2 million within an hour or two. And that went all through Sunday. They played a game Sunday. They lost the game. Nobody asked Murphy about it. And I'm like, what's going on? It wasn't until about 6 o'clock Monday night that they realized, okay, we kind of created a monster.
Because people wouldn't let it go?
So they said, the Brewers would like to let folks know, we'd like to clarify that Bob didn't actually write the letter. That's something that Pat wrote. We just thought everybody would have picked up on that. Like, no. And that alone, if that's what it was, if it was just Pat Murphy being creative
right.
and writing something in the voice of Bob Uecker, that's touching too.
Right.
But after the week the whole world had just had.
Yeah, right.
You just kind of think that maybe it was even more special that they had been holding on to something that Bob did as he knew that he was in his final months of his life and wanted to leave something behind.
Were some people upset?
Yeah. It's Twitter, man. Everybody got
ugly. Oh, God. Say no more. Oh, my God. That's the voice of Mike Clemens, folks. He is here with us tonight. Can you stick around? Help us close it down. We got a couple texts to read. We'll finish up with Mike after this very short break. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Herman's. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwalbe. Mike Clemens is here in the studio. Terry Barr just dropped us a stream comment and put Mike in all caps, my favorite sports guy.
Hi, Terry.
Could not agree more, Terry. I am totally with you there.
She's here Friday night, right?
Friday night. Bar Band Friday night is tomorrow night. And I fully expect Mike to put Terry in all caps, my favorite music person.
Sure.
Sure.
Go with that.
You don't have enough on your plate, Mike, to remember something like that. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, best song from a movie, Children Don't Listen from Into the Woods. Bernadette Peters. Okay. You remember the movie The Jerk?
Yes.
Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. Bernadette Peters, I think, is the one that sang the, if you like me, like I like you, like Steve Martin sang Picking Out a Thermos for You.
Yeah.
She's great. She was great in The Jerk too. Thank you, Jim, for the text. Jim also says best movie of songs, The Last Waltz, the band and an all-star cast. Nice, Jim. Thank you. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Will Ferrell may not have sung The Whole Wide World, but it was still sweet. What was that in? Is that the movie with the that we just talked about before with Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I believe that is Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction, right. About. I have not seen that. And then our last text here of the night, John from Madison says, Stripes, when Bill and company sing and perform the pom-pom routine for the General Army Training, sir. I love, you know, I'm sure you've seen Stripes, Mike.
Been a long time, but
been a long time. They, when they all fall asleep in the hangar after practicing all night, their march, and the one guy says, "What time is it?" Two of them wake up. One says, "What time is it?" 3 o'clock. The other one says, "What time's graduation?" The guy says, 2 o'clock. We still got an hour to sleep. it's just beautiful. All right. So, Mike, what can we expect? I mean, the Brewers are 5 games up. They're going to win the division, obviously. Do you think they're peaking at the right time for the playoffs? And Pat Murphy keeps things light, right? Like that, I love that story you just told. He seems like a great manager to play for. He is. High expectations, but
he's this tremendous personality and not overbearing. It pretty much keeps it to baseball, but it's these little jokes off to the side that keep it light and keep people on their toes. That's just the way he is. I mean, he's kind of a former player himself. Yeah. And as I suggested to you earlier this summer, when Euchre would come in the clubhouse, it's like, oh, here's this celebrity.
Wow.
It just felt that way, right?
Yeah.
Now that he's not walking in anymore, there's the class clown is the manager. But it's the guy that decides if you get to play or not today.
Yeah.
And there's just some sort of interesting dynamic because of that. Because Murphy's almost as, no one can be as funny as Bob Euchre ever was.
Right.
Ever. But Murph's pretty close in his own way, but he's also the boss. So that keeps it light. But keeps them focused in terms of what they need to have for their confidence. Quinn Priester is pitching tonight. To start off the game, he had 5 strikeouts. The guys, I think they've won 12 in a row, 13 in a row when he's on the mound. So pitching, Brandon Woodruff looked good last night.
Yeah.
Freddie Peralta is still looking good. And then this Quinn Priester. So at least you got 3 to get you going into the playoffs. But we got word yesterday from Murph that Trevor McGill, their closer, and not coming back so soon from this elbow injury he's got, this flexor. And that's tough. You know, they got Abner Uribe that they can use as a closer, but that's not the best news. Jose Quintana, who also left with a calf injury, that could be a little bit longer. He's now on a 15-day IL, so he won't be back for the rest of the regular season. So that's a little touch and go.
What year is Jose Quintana? Is he in like his 15th year as a pro? Yeah,
I think he's 35, 35 years old, 36.
You know how I knew the Brewers were going to win the division?
When?
When the Cubs had the best record in baseball, and I was getting updates every night from my dad on how the Cubs played. I said, all right, I'm going to start following him now. It's August. I can't follow 162 games. But the second I decided to follow the Cubs this year.
That's when the slide began.
They went south and the Brewers went north. And I just thought, oh, that's so Schwabe, you know.
Yeah.
Con, you know, we're not going to ask Mike to make a prediction because he's a reporter. What do you think the Brewers are going to do in the playoffs?
I don't want to say anything either, you know.
Because are you that guy you think you're going to jinx yourself or something?
They've broken my heart many times before, so I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't explain how you can win that many games against those many good. How you can sweep the Dodgers? And surpass the Cubs, who were off to a great start.
We had a decent lead at the time too,
etc. But it just always seems like there's some team with a higher payroll at the end of the year that just gets hotter in the postseason when it matters, and you lose 2 out of 3 or something like that, and you know. And we get sent home again, scratching our heads. Here we are. Not enough payroll, not enough veterans. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me how you can win in August and September. I can have a 14-game winning streak, and it's just not quite measure up to the Phillies or somebody else when it counts.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you see, we got about a minute left. Did you see Just a Bit Outside, the Brewers documentary?
Not yet.
Oh, Mike, you got to see it.
You know,
it's fun.
I was there.
Yeah, you lived it, but
I was there. I was a kid.
Check out the highlights.
21, 22, but I'm looking forward to it. Todd Allbaugh has been talking about it.
Yeah,
you know, on our midday show here on the network, and it's on my list of things to do for sure.
It literally, like, we used to go up. My mom and dad met at Marquette. My mom's family's from Milwaukee. We used to come up and tailgate. My uncle Pat Murphy would set us up in the county stadium parking lot. Some of the best memories of my life. And it was like you were being transported back there in this documentary. It was so fun. All right. Mike Clemens, thank you, sir. Always fun.
Thank you, Pete.
I would also like to thank Victoria Davis for making the popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, stay away from roundabouts. And tomorrow night on the show, Terry Barr and Civicpedia's own Stuart J. Waddles will be here. Always fun when Stu's here. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark in Paris. It's the reopening of the towers at the Notre Dame Cathedral 6.5 years after the devastating fire, with President Macron on hand for the ceremony. Across the channel, Thursday in the UK, President Trump held a joint press conference with Prime Minister Starmer, and he was asked about negotiations with the Chinese government over TikTok.
We're pretty close to a deal. We may do an extension with China, but it's an extension based on the same terms that we have right now, which are pretty good terms.
While returning to the U.S., the president told reporters that broadcasters that frequently criticize him should lose their licenses. A day after Disney pulled Jimmy Kimmel's late-night show from the air, Disney's the parent company of ABC News. The FDA's vaccine advisory panel will continue to consider today whether to change its recommendation for hepatitis B vaccines, a day after deciding children under 4 should not get the single shot that includes chickenpox, measles, mumps, and rubella, recommending they're administered separately. This is ABC News.